In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. I want to talk to you today about the story of love and hope. I'm sure you are wondering what do you mean by a story of love and hope, and we heard the scripture talks about the prodigal son. The story of the prodigal son is the story of love and hope. It's the love of God and the hope of all of us as sinners, that when we come forward and we come back to Him, God is willing at all times to forgive our sins and accept all of us. And to show you what I mean, I divided the scripture today into four sections. The first one is the effects of sin, the cure, the results, and the reward. The first point, the effects of sin. As you heard the scripture today from the book of Luke in chapter 15, in verse 16 it says, "And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything." When we commit the sin, sin can lead us to impurity and to poverty. We will not be able to find anything that can quench the thirst of our spirit to be with God. Nothing can fill us up and make us feel that we need nothing more. If you live in this world and you enjoy the food, the riches of this world, you will never be satisfied. It will never ever satisfy you, no matter what you do. The only time that we will be satisfied, if and only if, we are satisfied by God and His Word. Beyond that, there is no way that we will ever be satisfied. We will always be impure and we will always be poor. We need to be filled by the Word of God. The second effect of sin would be the guilt and the hunger. As you heard the scripture today from the book of Luke in 15:17, it says, when he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger?" When we leave God and His house and His church, we will always be hungry. There is nothing ever will satisfy outside. What money will do for me, for example? I work for such a wonderful position, and I have no time for the church, and I have no time to pray or read the Bible. I have no time for confession. I have no time for any of the activities of the church. What I have is work and relaxation and TV. What this will do for me? Absolutely nothing. Nothing. All what I need to make sure that I'm not in that terrible hunger and starvation is to come to God. And as you heard what the prodigal son said here, I perish with hunger. Not just starve, you perish, you kill yourself, you are dying because of the hunger of your soul to the Word of God. There is no salvation outside the church. There is no way that we can live and enjoy life outside the church. Life outside the church is not a life. That's why the church many times is called the Ark of Noah, the Ark of Salvation, the Ark of Protection, the place where you can find all the good things with God. You cannot do it by yourself. If you think for a moment that you can do it by yourself, you are deceiving yourself. Nothing we can do without God, period. Anything else that comes to our mind against that, it is from the devil. You must trust it is from the devil. The third effect of sin would be death. As his father said, "For this, my son was dead and is alive again." When we commit the sin, we are dead. We are dead by the spirit. It doesn't have to be the physical death. Death is the separation of the spirit and the body. When our spirit leaves the body, we are physically dead. Same way, if our spirit leaves God, we are dead, spiritually dead. Same for us when we pray Psalm 50 every day in the Agbia. If you notice what we say, we always speak about, "Deliver me, God, from the blood, O God of my salvation." So what blood is it? Did you kill anybody? Of course not. But it could be the blood of your children whom you did not raise well. You did not watch over what they say or what they do. You are still responsible for all their actions. They are children. You are the father. You are the mother. You are in charge. And if your kids go far away from the church, it is your responsibility. You will be the one who will give an account of their life. Also, you will be the one who will be rewarded, the good reward, when you teach your children all the good things about God and His church. For example, last night we have the Tasbiha, and I was very, very proud that I have all the children who were standing right here beside me, and they by themselves were doing the Tasbiha. There was no elder leading them, and they said it perfectly well, perfect. And I told them at the end, I am very proud, and we were doing high five, all of us. I was so happy with that, because when you teach from that young age, they will stay in the church, they will continue praise and glorify God. The fourth effect of sin is, as he heard from the father, when he said about his prodigal son, that he was lost and is found. So the effect of sin here, that we can get lost if we do not come back to God. So sin had these terrible effects: impurity, poverty, guilt and hunger, death and loss. But does that mean this is it, the end of our life? Of course not. There is a cure. What is the cure that we heard today in the scripture? Number one, you need to sit down with yourself. You need to sit with yourself, as you heard the scripture today from Luke 15:17, when it says about the prodigal son, that he came to himself. That means he sat down with himself, he started to review and examine all his work and all his deeds. Then what? Second step, you must take a positive action. As he said, I will arise and go to my father. First step was very good. I sat with myself. I knew that I am guilty and I am sinful and I am dead. Then what? You must get up. You must arise and go to your father. And here it means also you go to your father of confession. That brings my third point. You must confess your sins. Confession is one of the seven sacraments of the church. It is not a making of Abuna Ya'ub. It is something we all must do. As you heard what it says today in the scripture, the prodigal son said, I will say to my father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. I sat with myself, I took a positive action, and now I go and talk to God in confession. And remember the Arabic expression, when we go to confess, we say we confess on Abuna. نعترف على أبونا. We are not confessing to him, it is on him. He is like the bridge between you and God. Through the Holy Spirit invested in him, he can also give you the absolution. That's the whole idea. We sit with ourselves, we take the positive action, and I go confess my sins. The sacrament of confession, we always forget one word before it. It's called the sacrament of repentance and confession. This repentance would be the sitting with myself, reviewing and examining myself, and then take this positive action to get up and arise and go. And then the practical side is to speak it up, talk to my father of confession, and tell him about my sins. So what happens if I do all of this? Here are the results. Number one, you would know that you are a very, very special person to God. How special you are? He died on the cross for you. He loved you so much that he gave up his only begotten son. So no one, he says, no one will perish. It means he is giving every one of us the chance if we take it. I guess I mentioned this example before, but let me repeat it. If I give everybody here a check for millions of dollars, every one of us is rich by having the check. You know, it is a true check. But how can you enjoy it unless you go and cash the check? That's exactly what God has given us. Everybody has the chance to come back. Everybody has the chance to come and inherit the kingdom of heaven, that the check of millions of dollars. You have the chance to enjoy it if you cash it. Use the means of salvation, the confession, the communion, and come forward and you speak with God and give him your life as he gave up his life for you. Number two, you must know that you are loved so much by God. In Romans 5:8, St. Paul said, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So even if we are sinners, we still have the chance to come back. The only time that you will never enjoy the salvation, the kingdom, when you don't want to enjoy it, when you don't take the check and cash it. God, when he died on the cross, did not die in any other way. So every time we look at him, he is opening his arms and his bosom to accept all of us. And he said, "He who comes to me, I will never cast out. Just come. Take the step, as the prodigal son did, and arise and go to your father and confess." And when you do, what do you expect? Forgiveness. St. John said in his first epistle, chapter 1, verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That's if we confess our sins. We must come forward and confess our sins. And we know this is the time of confession. This is the perfect time for us to regenerate our life, to live a new life with God. And this regeneration expression was used by St. Paul, meaning you become a new. You wash your sins. When you commit a sin, you bind yourself by yourself, because you committed the sin against God. So you are not worthy to come forward and take communion. So how can I make sure that I can come forward? By taking absolution from your father of confession. You must go to your father of confession. You must go to the person that you committed the sin against and reconcile with him. Tell him, "I have sinned against you in heaven, and here is what I did, and forgive me." You must do it. You have the chance so easy. It's not that difficult when you do it. Will be difficult if you listen to Satan and he put the idea in your mind that you cannot do it, and your pride becomes in the way that you will never be able to go and confess your sins. That brings the other point of sanctification. After you get a new person through confession, because through absolution become like just newborn, God will make sure that you are his son, where his name will be glorified in you and through you. In what you say and what you do, in what you dress, what you eat, and what you drink, especially in these days of the Great Lent. What would happen if people see you, for example, that you are eating non-fasting food? You will cause them to stumble. How could a deacon or a servant or a priest or anyone during the fasting that the Lord himself fasted and they do not fast? How would you answer about this in the presence of God when you stand before him? And all generations before and after, the whole universe is standing and listening to your confession before God on the day of judgment. What would you say? Please get yourself ready. That brings my last point, the reward. As you heard the scripture today from the book of Luke in chapter 15, it says about the prodigal son that he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Meaning the father is waiting all the time for you to come back. And the minute he sees you, he's willing and ready and run to meet you and kiss you, to accept you, the kiss of love. Then what happened? The father said to his servants, "Bring out the best robe and put it on him." Meaning bring you back to your royal status as a son of the Most High, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You become back again a royal family, and put on a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. The ring, the seal that you are my son, and the sandal, you are no more like a materialistic or earthly person. You are not touching the earth by your feet. You have something to protect you. You are much higher than this level. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. This is the love story that God will give you. And you may wonder, this could be like more than 2008 years ago. Actually, it is still happening until today. Every day we have a prodigal son who comes back and confess. I was reading the news on CNN and I was seeing many converts coming to Christianity on Sunday. That was the Feast of Resurrection for our brethren, the Catholic. And many non-Christians were baptized in that feast by His Holiness Pope Benedict the 16th. Something wonderful where you see people are still coming back. I also read a story that I'm sure you all of you may know that tells you about the prodigal son. You know that many years ago, Al Capone virtually owned Chicago. We all know since we are from Chicago. And you know that Capone wasn't famous for anything heroic, but he was notorious for enmeshing the Windy City in everything from bootlegged booths and prostitution and murder and all of the bad stuff. But he had a lawyer that was nicknamed Easy Eddie. And he was Capone's lawyer for a good reason. Eddie was very, very good lawyer and very smart. In fact, his skills at legal maneuvering was able to keep the Big Al out of prison or any trouble for a long, long time. To show the appreciation, Al Capone paid him very well. Not only was the money big, but also Eddie got special dividends. For instance, he and his family occupied a fenced-in mansion with live-in help and all of the conveniences of the day. And he had such a big real estate that was almost like a whole entire block in the city of Chicago. And Eddie lived the high life of the Chicago mob and gave little consideration to the atrocity that went on around him. And Eddie did have one soft spot. What was it? He had a son that he loved dearly. And Eddie saw to it that his young son had the best clothes, the best cars, the best education, the best of all what he needs. Everything was given to him. It doesn't matter how much it costs. But despite that, Eddie tried very much to teach his son what's right and what's wrong. Something many of us may not know. He wanted his son to be a much better person than himself. And although he had that much of money and wealth, there were two things that Eddie could not give his son. He could not pass on good name or good example. You can't. That's how much we can affect our children. But one day, Easy Eddie reached a difficult decision. He wanted to rectify the wrongs that he had done, and he decided he would go to the authorities and tell the truth about Al Capone. And of course, clean up his tarnished name and offer his son some semblance of integrity. And to do this, he would have to testify against the mob. You know how difficult a decision that is. He knew that he would be killed. But it didn't matter. What he has in mind is one thing, to save his son. So he did, and he went to testify. And within the year, as you would expect, Eddie, or Easy Eddie, was killed in a blaze of gunfire on a Chicago street. But if you look at this story, and what they found in his pockets when he died, you would know that he was a prodigal son. They found in his pocket rosary, crucifix, a religious medallion, and a poem clipped from a magazine. And let me read to you the part of the poem that he found. It says, "The clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop, at late or early hour. To lose one's wealth is sad indeed. To lose one's health is more. To lose one's soul is such a loss that no man can restore." You cannot restore your soul. "The present only is our own. So live, love, toil with a will. Place no faith in tomorrow, for the clock may then be still." It will never move. Your life will be over. And it did happen with him. But you can tell from what they found that he came back. He sacrificed his own life for his son. He wanted to give his son a name, a good name. And I'm sure he was praying. He must be when you find all of this in his pockets. So the question is, can we humble ourselves one day and act like the prodigal son and come back? And you know, in our church, the prodigal son is not called the prodigal son. We call him the smart son, Ibn Shatir, because he was so smart to come back and know that he was mistaken And this is the time for me to come back and confess my sins. I wish and pray that all of us will act like him and think of ourselves as sinners, as St. Paul himself said in his first epistle to Timothy in chapter 1, verse 15, the sinners of whom I am chief, the first of the sinners, the top of the sinners. I pray and I ask God that he give us wisdom to come back and consider confession and fasting and prayer during the Great Lent to be the power that we can use to regenerate our life. And glory be to God now and forever and ever. Amen.